podcast channel on Apple, and I think it's on other platforms as well. All you do is just search for Moshe Harrigan, and you'll find that you've got more of what you're about to hear. Literally every single day, it's news with the Kofrim, his Shiurim, there's ladies' talks, there's English, there's Hebrew. And then when he says, I have an audience in South Africa, that's me. So he catches up for fans since last year. We look forward to so I'm going to make sure that you're able to share your screen for the Marmar Kaimas. Give me a second. I think the easiest is to make you a co-host. That should work if you want to try. And I'm also going to start the recording now. So give me one more second. And you all know when you can start. With pleasure.
Okay. Can you hear me? Okay, I put on the headphones. There's a little bit of noise in my house. A lot of people in my house. So this is just, I apologize for the way it appears. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. We've heard how difficult times are in South Africa in general, and for Am Yisrael in particular. So just now that we're thinking about you being a spal of Rachin Kol Beis Yisrael, and hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us here of Sifri Chaim, Esfeinu L'Chaim Tovim. It's certainly an honor, and I'm humbled to speak to you and offer whatever little insights I can about the great days that are upon us. It will help us both at a personal level and as well as leading people who are obviously very despairing, very sad, and facing a Yom Tov under compromised conditions. So thank you for inviting me, and Mirtz Hashem, I look forward to the days to greeting all of you personally and to visiting and to greeting you here in Gush, and Mirtz Hashem visiting Kol Tzvus Yisrael. So Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, on the one hand, are very timeless. Ata zocher, ma'ase olam, sofu ma'abit, atzof kol adaros. There's a panoramic sense to the Evan Narayim that it's not just about 2021 or Tavshin Pei Beis. I should mention, Rosh Hashanah, my parents are joining me, so I'm happy that they're joining here for this year. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers the overall flow of history. It doesn't just, and we have to consider that also, because our imaginations and our hearts have to be drawn by the texture of the day. But on the other hand, in that same section, which in Mitzvah Shem we'll take a look at later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also probes Ma'ase Adam, Ma'ase Ish of Kudaso, Machsheves Adam V'sach Bulosav. Very specific, Ma'ase Ish. It's not about what happened 500 years ago, but Ma'ase Ish. Machsheves Adam, my thoughts this year. And there's no question that this year, Tashin Pei Aleph, has been very, very different than our past Rosh Hashanahs. And in many respects, even a little different than last year's Corona Rosh Hashanah. Last year, I think a lot of us were operating in a position of panic, fear, even terror. And we felt that we were in survival mode. How can we patch together Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, just to go on, just to hold our breath so that this pandemic can pass us, and then we'll return, resume normal lives. I think a year later we realize this is an experience that is here to stay. We're wrestling with it. It's more reflective. It's more introspective. What does this mean for us? What does this mean for our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What does it mean for Malchus Hashem Ba'olam? So it's not just that this Rosh Hashanah is different than Rosh Hashanah of 3 years ago or 2 years ago, but it's even very different than last year's. So I was thinking to myself, how can I share some thoughts of Torah that are not just timeless about Rosh Hashanah that could have been shared in 1821 or in 1421, but in the context and in contemporaneous thoughts about Rosh Hashanah that will help us and will help us also lead other people through a meaningful Rosh Hashanah experience. So I want to discuss the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. There's a source sheet, so I'll try to share on my screen, but I also sent out the sources to check in ahead of time. Can you see the source sheet? Okay, so the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, it's source number 2, we'll get back to source number 1. This is really the only Mishnah, Meseches Rosh Hashanah, that identifies Rosh Hashanah as the Yom Hadin. Second Mishnah, Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tazayin, Amud Aleph, source number 2, Rosh Hashanah, Kol Boi Olam Oven Lifanav, Kivnei Maram, Shenemar Hayotzer, Yachad Libam, Hamevin Al Kol Maseim. What does B'nei Maram mean? So we are familiar with the interpretation of the Paitan of Unisanatokiv, Kevakoras Roa Edra. But the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches, is three different shitas. And I felt that these three shittos can serve as a landscape. By delving into each shita, a landscape for meaningful messages and interfaces with Rosh Hashanah for what we're all commonly experiencing. So let's start with the first approach. The first approach is the most famous approach. Source number 3, Ma'at Kivnei Maram, Hacha Tergimu Kivnei Imrana. Hacha, presumably in Bavel, they touched up, they interpreted it as it were sheep. And this is the, as I said before, Kivakoras Roa Edro, Ma'vir Tzono Tacha Shifta, okay, in Tavir Tinevitivko Nefesh Kochoi. What's the meaning of appearing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu like sheep? What does it mean B'nai Imrana? How does that help us understand Rosh Hashanah, and in particular this Rosh Hashanah? So I think part of the answer lies in the dichotomy that exists within Shofar. By delving a little bit into Shofar and understanding its dichotomy and its duality, I think we can better understand why Chazal wanted us to view ourselves as Kivnei Imrana, Kivakoras Ro Edra. Shofar has two sides to it, and the two sides are very paradoxical. On the one hand, the Gemara says, so it's number 4, famous Gemara, Zekei Levi Anveu, it's not the fun of the mitzvahs. I'll say the fun of Sukkana, Lulavna, Shofarna. So like every mitzvah, a shofar has to be beautiful and aesthetic. But in the case of a shofar, evidently the aesthetic and the beauty and the way that it enhances our tefillos is even more specific and more potent than general Hebrew mitzvah. The infrastructure of our tefillos, most of it's based on the number 10. One second, I want to get a piece of paper. That will help me. I think I wrote down some notes. Excuse me. The infrastructure of Rosh Hashanah is 10 psukim of Malchios, 10 psukim of Zichronos, and 10 psukim of Shofaros. So Gemara wants to know, source number 1, I repeated it twice, but Hani Asara Malchios Kneged Me? And the Gemara's question is not just about the Asara Psukim Malchios, but about Asara Psukim. Lachara, the Gemara's assumption is maybe 3 psukim, like Kriya Satara. That's normally the Shir Psukim that you have to read. Every Ola has to read 3 psukim. Why 10? Where do we get the number 10? So Gemara says because of the Perek in Tehillim, which talks about Tzitzlei Shamot, Tzitzlei Surah. The Perek in Tehillim that talks about the way we endorse and we employ the shofar to create halal. Halu b'seka shofar, halu b'nevel v'chinar, halu b'safu machal, halu b'vina v'ugav, halu b'tzlei shama, halu b'tzlei surah, kolon shama. Can I get a sara hilulim, source number 1, shama David b'sefer Tehillim. And of course the 10 hilulim that are written in this Perek about shofar. So what's implicit in this drasha? That in the shofar, there's a halach of halal. The purpose of the shofar is to say halal. And that's why the psukim that are associated with the shofar should numerically resemble the amount of times the word halal is used in the parak that talks about shofar. And it's false that we don't say halal on Rosh Hashanah. We talk to say halal on Rosh Hashanah. It's just a muted halal. It's a different halal. Very famous Rambam, a lot of people point to the Rambam. When the Rambam writes, I'm skipping a little forward, I'll go back to some of the other sources, source 5, when he talks about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, he says, Av Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Me'im B'im Halel, Lefi Shehem Yemei Tshuva V'yir V'facha. It's based on the Gemara in Erechin, Sifrei Chaim Yemei Sim B'suchel Lefanecha. But then the Rambam concludes, Lo Yemei Simcha Yisera. Sounds in the Rambam that there is a din of Simcha in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and of course, this has a lot of nafkaminos, it's Mevata Lavelos. It affects the Nesach HaTfila, Big Machloksin. Do you say, Vasiyin Hashem Elokeinu, Tzbechas Mo'adecha? Can you fast on Rosh Hashanah? But that's a different topic, not the topic of the Shir, but it's a day of Simcha, not Simcha Yisera. It shouldn't be overt, it shouldn't be celebratory. It's days that are somber and solemn. But there is a Hallel, maybe not the verbal Hallel that's joyful and exuberant, but it's the Hallel that a shofar provides. So the need to have, as the Gemara says in Shabbos, or Kufal Amid Gimel, a shofar in Noah, it's not just based on the general concept of Hidra Mitzvah, Sukkana, Lulavna, Begedna, Tzitzisna, but it's a specific element in shofar because the shofar is meant to take the simple human voice and upgrade and enhance it. Zamru Lakim Zameru. Zamru Lamakim Zameru. Zamru Lamakim Zameru. Kimelech Kalar Tzilukim Zamru Maskil. The parak we're going to recite 7 times before Kriyas Tchis Shofar. It's the day of Malchus Hashem. It's a day in which that which we yearn for the whole year is finally realized because everyone is omei lefan of the mishpat, his malchus is established, whether people are aware of it or not. And how can we not dress in our best, and how can we not eat our best? And I talked about this last year. We spoke about the psukim. This is something which is latent in a very interesting Tosfos. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Chavav and Aleph, as you know, cites many shittos as to why you can't use a shofar shel para. The Mishnah says, Kala shofar is kulam sheres chutz mi shofar keren shel para. And according to Ula, it's because of ein kategor nasas an egor, not to revoke memories of the egel hazav. And he says, wait a second. We don't want any memories of the egel hazav, and that's why the Kohen Gadol doesn't don big day zav in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Sur 6, okay, Vaika kafu machta, the second line, Kohen Gadol walks in with a gold pan of coals and a gold cup of taras. That's gold. Why isn't there a concern of ein kategor nasas sanegar for gold fire coals or the pan of coals and gold spice holders? Where it says, Chote bal yisnar karminan. There's no issue of ein kategor nasas sanegar where the activity is pedestrian or mundane. So you can carry in gold when it's functional, when it's logistical. You want to carry coals in, take gold. But when the Kohen Gadol walks with his begadim, and that's beautiful, l'shem lo tiferes, to wear gold is an affront to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to use or to drape, literally, an element which is supposed to be beautiful and aesthetic with a reminder of the egel, that would be a violation of ein kategor nasas sanegar, and that's why the Kohen Gadol can't wear gold clothing, but can take a gold pan of coals and a gold cup of spices. So Tosfos asks the obvious question. Tosfos is not source number 7. Wait a second. So begadim are meant to enhance. So there is a problem of ein kategor nasas sanegar. Coals are not enhancing. They're just functional. They're mundane. There's no problem of ein kategor nasas sanegar. What about shofar? Why can't you blow with a shofar shel para? What's the issue of ein kategor nasas sanegar? So what does Tosfos say? Source number 7. It's a small Tosfos. V'gavei shofar misnoe nami b'kol tkiyasa. The kol tkiyasa is a halacha of misnoe. It's a beautiful Tosfos. If you just look at that line, it really leaps out at you. V'gavei shofar misnoe nami b'kol tkiyasa. The purpose of a shofar is to be misnoe l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can I just show up with my tongue? How can I just show up with my songs? I'm tone deaf. I take a French horn. I take something beautiful. And I sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I enhance my tefillah with the melodic sound of a shofar. And that's the simple pshat in the Perek of Tehillim. Hallelu b'tzeik a shofar. Hallelu b'nevel v'chinor. Hallelu b'sofor machal. Hallelu b'bina v'ugav. The shofar is part of an ensemble, part of an orchestral song in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's another halachic ramification of this. Very interesting. There's a beautiful Ramban in the Drushas, a very famous Drushas Ramban, which he actually gave 1 year. This is an actual Drusha he gave, which he tries to explain, not the sheet of Ula, but the first sheet in the Gemara. I forget whose sheet it is. I don't have the Gemara in front of me. You can't use a shofar shilpara because all the shofaras are called shofar, chutz mi shilpara dikri keren. So the Ramban wants to know, what is this, nomenclature? Because the horn of a cow is called a keren, you can't use it, but all the other horns are called a shofar, you can use it? So Ramban says the word shofar, quotes a pasuk in Eiv, comes from the word lishaper, to improve. Every horn on the head of an animal is called a keren. Whether it's a cow or a goat or a ram, it's all called a keren because at that point it's still raw, unprocessed material. And it's called a keren. It's just a bone. It's a horn. Typically, you take the horn off the head of the animal, you process it, you smooth it out, you chisel it, you shape it, and you convert it from a raw bone, etzem keren, into a shofar, mishupar, into a kli. There's only one horn of an animal that's so raw and ugly and basic, and it doesn't have a klipa and a toch, and you can't process into anything nice. It will always remain an ugly bone, an ugly etzem. That's a par. So the Mishnah says, kala shofar is kulam sheres chutz mishel par dikri keren. It doesn't just mean classification. This is called keren, this is called shofar. Let's play word games and make sure we take a shofar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to take the horn of an animal, chisel it, refine it, enhance it, show up as part of an orchestra, sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to bring a shofar shel para dikri keren. As much as you chisel it, it isn't anatomically shaped in a way that can lead to the status of a shofar. Here's Rabban's source 6. Shofar einor l'shem akli ha-mesukin, shetokim bo. Kol ha-mechubarim b'roshei behemos v'achayos keren shma. Anything on the head of an animal is called a keren. V'ein shem shofar b'mechubarim klal. V'lo b'shlamim shleimim kodum shekadchan. Anything that's still whole, it's shalim, without hollowing it out, before you hollow it out, is not called a shofar. This is a little bit later. V'hani klafim li'achot tikunam. But once you chisel it out and peel it away, hem shofar. Migzeres b'ruchos shamayim shafra. Pasuk in Eiv. The osan she'en lahem klipa, but those horns that don't have an inner meat with an outer shell, which you can hollow out the meat and keep the shell. Him etzen, they're just a bone. Bones don't have klipos and toch, so just one bone. Shmam keren leolam. Even after you hollow them out. So these are halachic proofs, as well as the drasha of Rabbi Yochanan and Daf Chavav, that the purpose of a shofar is to improve and to enhance the kol adam. Hayitachin that will show up and return to the Melech Malchei Amlachim in Rosh Hashanah with our voices alone. Hallelujah, b'seka shofar, zamru lukim zameru, zamru l'makinu zameru. Areshes v'seinu yarev l'fanecha. In order to make it yarev l'fanecha, we have to enhance it with music. But there's a second element to the shofar, and it's absolutely contradictory. It's absolutely antithetical. It's literally a paradox. The shofar is an attempt not to enhance and to upgrade the human voice, but to divest it and to convert it into a shriek of an animal. Because with human voices come conceit, superficiality, hypocrisy, artifice, self-aggrandizement, false narratives. What hope do I have to appear in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ki b'tocham t'meis v'asayim, ki t'mein t'vasayim anochi. V'tocham t'meis v'asayim anochi yoshev, as Yishai says. And to show before HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Yom HaDin with the filth and the flawed and the defect of the human voice. So I divest that voice and I just shriek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like an animal. Yishalmi says, source number 8. Yishalmi in Tainis, it's talking about a Tainis, but it's typically applied even to the Kol HaShofar. Amr Biakov de Romia. Biakov of Rome said, Lama tokim bikronos, why do we use the horns of animals? The obvious question is, Rishi is a chatzotza, something manufactured, why something natural? He said, why? Lomar, chashveinu ki'ilu goyim kibahema lefonecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just treat us as if we're as animals, crying and screaming and shrieking for help. Nothing sophisticated, nothing enlightened, nothing human, very primordial, very bestial, very basic, very primitive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Batiyabev Eim Sisra. In your wildest dreams, could you ever imagine fashioning Rosh Hashanah Tkios after the mother of a Midianite soldier? Why Batiyabev Eim Sisra? Because there's nothing more basic than the cry of a mother realizing that her child isn't returning, whether it's a Jewish mother or a pagan mother. And we're trying to tap into something basic and visceral and even bestial, which is subhuman, which is deeper. Sfas Emes, we always quote his Zeta, the Chidush Arim, source number 10. First Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah says that Echad be'elos Rosh Hashanah le'maiser behema. So we typically read very quickly through that Mishnah. It has nothing to do with our Elul. Our Elul is Slichos. Our Elul is David Hashem Ari. Our Elul is Tkiya Shofar. Our Elul is preparing for Rosh Hashanah. Chidush Arim said, the goal of Elul is to think about ourselves as behemoths. Rosh Hashanah le'maiser behema. So this is when people thought about their behemoths, went out to their corral, were mafresh the Asiri, Asiri Yakodesh, and it reminded them that as much as we strive and as much as we value our achievements as human beings, sometimes our egos can swell and our self-assessment can become inflated. But in Rosh Hashanah, we turn back to basics. We divest. We disrobe that human voice. The Medr says that Chana, that year, when Chana was answered, her tefillos were, Hashem, until now I've been davening as a wife of Elkanah, as potential mother of a Navi, and evidently I failed because I was a davening based on expectations. Now she says, just treat me like a sheretz. It's a medrash in Shmuel, beginning of Shmuel. Just treat me like a sheretz. Sheretzim v'remasim. They have children. They procreate. I don't come with any expectations. I don't come with any false sense of grandeur. I don't come with any false sense of accomplishment. Just treat me like a sheretz. Goyim lefanecha kibehima. And that's an internal paradox in shofar. And of course, as with all paradoxes, it's not meant to be reconciled. It's meant to be sustained. Because our interface with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an interface between unequals. We're not similar to Hashem. My interface with the Basar Vadam is a unidimensional interface. It can have extra dimensions, but each dimension is a different facet. But when I try to interface with the Melech Malchayim Lachim, it's an interface between completely, completely dissimilar entities. Ki lo machshevosei machshevoseichem v'lo darcheichem d'rachaynu Hashem. So it's going to be riddled with paradox. Not riddled, it's going to be revitalized. It's going to be enriched by paradox. Ava and Yira, Ratzav Vashov. Of course it's going to be a multi-layered interface. And when we stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Yom HaDin, of course the Shofar is going to have both elements because it's latent in our experience of Rosh Hashanah. But I think particularly this year, that second layer to Shofar resonates very deeply. Chashveinu ki'ilu goyim lifanecha kibehemos. On many levels. Over the last year and a half, obviously, humanity has been brought to its knees. We've all recognized that as high as we try to soar as humans and as much as we try to ascend as angels, inevitably we all come tumbling down. And as much as we advance, and it's the Ratzon Hashem that we advance our society, because it's the Ratzon Hashem that we should improve the human condition, so technology is driven by a religious impulse, and Oved Hashem wants to improve the world, Le'avdo L'Shamra. But as much as we advance, we retreat. And with every advance in the human condition lies danger. And the epidemic would not have spread as fast as it did, and the variants wouldn't be as intimidating as they are if not for travel. And travel has, excuse the pun, skyrocketed or accelerated over the last 50 years. We travel like we've never traveled before. And latent within our travel is the ability to share and spread our diseases and our variants. We fueled the pandemic. So we realize the limits of human technology, the limits of medicine, the limits of science. But it's not just recognizing the limits of human beings. We've also lost so much as human beings on a personal level, not just culturally, society. What does it mean to live in society, democracy, technology, industry, realizing the latent built-in limits. But we've lost so much as human beings, not just the people who've lost family members. Of course they've lost. But we've lost so much in our lives, our futures, our accomplishments, bad mifal love, everything that we've built has become constrained and limited and restricted. And I found the last year and a half to be very existentialist. So I feel like I'm an onion. I've been peeled down to the core. I have to justify who I am and feel good about myself as an Oved Hashem without any title, without any horizons. I'm not traveling. No one knows. It's just me in my room. I have to sit in my room for a month at a time and look in the mirror and say, it's me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And can I translate that into meaning? Can I translate that into purpose? Hashem Sali U'Mitzidasi. Can I live that pasuk without needing or requiring anything else in my life? It's been a real trial. But I feel that our human horizons have shrunken. We feel very vulnerable. We feel very brittle like animals. So Shofar has both elements to it. And maybe in 2019, Zamru Lokim Zameru, Zamru Lamakenu Zameru, is not the fun of the Shofar. And of course, we have to maintain both sides to it, of course. But I feel that second element, that second shift or angle of B'nai Imraya, V'chol B'nai Adam, Ovin Lefanecha Kivnei Maram, Kivnei Imraya, we're walking in front of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a sheep would walk before the shepherd, Kivakoros Ro'o Edro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Schot Techayim L'Kol Chai, invisible, we can't see, we don't know how it transfers, how it's passed on. If you live in Johannesburg or in Cape Town, you're facing one set of circumstances. If you live in Alon Shvut or the Gush, you're facing a different set of circumstances. And you know what? Tomorrow could be flipped, as we've seen. One country goes red, one country turns into green, and then one country gloats at its accomplishments, and then that gloating and that koche v'yotzim yadi is reduced. So that's number one. Number two, the second shot of Kivnei Imraya, going back to that Gemara, source number three, is Reish Lakish Amar Kimalos Beis Maron. Like the stairs, or the ramp, probably not stairs, leading up to Beis Maron. We don't really know what Beis Maron is, but presumably it's a high city built on a hill, built on a mountain. Some have claimed that it could be the there's a girsa here, not Beis Maron, but Beis Charon, or Mevo Charon. There's a mountain outside of Yerushalayim called Mevo Charon, the mountain of Charon. But either way, it's like walking up a mountain. Why do we appear in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if we're walking up a mountain? What does that mean? What is that trying to capture? It hasn't been enshrined and appeared, so you don't often think about it. We think about Kivakaras Roa Edro. But what is this opinion of Rish Lakish, Kima'alos Beis Maron? So the answer is that when you build a rampart, and some of you have visited Masada and you remember walking up that small little narrow, ramparts are not built wide. It's just too logistically complicated, too many resources, too much labor. You build a rampart, single file, to allow a person to walk up one by one. And that means that when you reach the top of the rampart, you reach the top of the hill, you're there as an individual. You're joined by other individuals, but the experience of walking up a rampart is a very, very lonely, solitary, individual experience. And that's how Reish Lakish wants us to think about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. What I mean is as follows. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur have a very, very ambivalent relationship with the rest of the Yom Tovim, with Sukkot, Shavuos, and Pesach. And that ambivalence can be sensed already in the Seder HaParshios. If you look in Parshas Emor and Parshas Pinchas, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are embedded within the Moadim. But if you look in Kitisa and Mishpatim and Rei, the Moadim stand alone without Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur being incorporated. And Rosh Yom Kippur has its own Parsha in Acharei Mos. So obviously Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur share some elements with the Moadim, but they're strikingly different, and those differences are highlighted by the exclusion in Re'e, Kitisa, and Mishpatim. What is the difference between the Shalosh Regalim and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Well, the Shalosh Regalim are communal and collective experiences. They're defined that way. Shalosh Pa'amim Bashana Yerah Kol Zechorchas B'nei Hashem Elokecha. Mobs of people descending upon Yerushalayim, sleeping in the streets, sleeping in hotels, thronging together. Thinking about thronging and how sad it was this year, the throngs in Meron and the tragedy. And now we just launched the inquiry today in Eretz Yisrael to try to decide what happened and prevent it in the future. But just imagine a part of life in Eretz Yisrael is we're able to create thronging that we never had before. And I was at Rav Avi Yosef Slavaya. There were 700,000 people. And I thought about the Gemara in Brachos, Kol Aruch L'si Yisrael, Baruch HaChama Razim. And I can't imagine my Zaydi could ever imagine reciting that bracha. Because how many Jews was he zochah to be with at once? 80,000, 100,000, 200,000 maximum? And the mitzvahs of the Yom Tovim are described in collective terms. V'shachatu oso, kol kehal adas Yisrael, the Korban Pesach. V'shachatu oso, famous Gemara of Nasan, source number 14, of Nasan of Naisha, kol Yisrael yotzim b'pesach echa, Talmud Lomar. V'shachatu oso, kol kehal adas Yisrael, bein avayim, kehal adas Yisrael. Rabbi Nassim learns that shlichus in the pasuk without getting into the sugya. And the mitzvah of sukkah is described that way as well. Source 13, basukas teshvu shivas yamim kol hazrach b'Yisrael yeshvu basukas. And we just learned the Gemara Daf Yomi a couple of weeks ago. Minayin shekol Yisrael yotzim b'sukkah echad according to the Rabban against the Belezer, shenemar kol hazrach b'Yisrael yeshvu basukas. And even Shavuos, which isn't really tagged to any mitzvah, because no mitzvahs on Shavuos outside the base of Mikdash, but the event of Shavuos that we commemorate is described in similar terms. Vayitein Hashem Elai, Shnei Luchas Avadim, source number 15, Ksuvim Be'etz Be'lukim Valeim, Kachol Ev Shtiv Hashem Yimachem Bahar Mitoch Esh B'Yom HaKahol. That's the way Har Sinai is described three times in Sefer Devarim, Yom HaKahol, and of course it's commemorated once every 7 years through Hakel, which is a redramatization of Har Sinai. Very collective, very communal. And they're not just communal in the way the Torah describes the mitzvahs, but they're communal in their origin, in their genesis. They each stem from a historical event that shaped our nation, shaped our ethos, shaped our national identity. Yitzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, Kibasukus HaShavti, protecting us in the Midbar, Eretz Lo Zrua. These were collective. When we think about those experiences, we process them as part of a nation with a history and a legacy and a mission and a destiny. We shift into a communal, collective mode of thought. We are part of Am Yisrael, part of its history. And it's not just the historical taglines, it's also the agricultural association. Chag HaKatzir, Chag HaAsif, Chag HaAviv. People experience agriculture collectively. You don't farm individually. Everyone has a homestead, but it takes a team of people to farm, to ship, to... And everyone's experiencing seasons jointly. Seasons aren't experienced personally. So the Shalosh Regalim, the mitzvahs, the descriptions, very communal, very collective. Shana Yom Kippur, very different. Obviously, there are some elements to each that are collective. But by and large, there's obviously no Aliyah LeRegel, no historical events that they're tagged to, no agricultural associations. We stand on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur as individuals in front of the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Kivnei Marom. Ki Aliyos Beis Marom, one by one. Yotziyah Chalibam, even Okol Maseim. If you've seen the Gemara senses the tension in the Pasuk. Is it at once or one by one? The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. And the experience is very personal, very solitary. We face a personal accounting. When we sense communal identity too deeply, we sometimes ignore our personal experience with the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Because we belong to Am Yisrael. And I see there are some people in Baruch Hashem. Part of what I enjoy so much about traveling to South Africa is my ability to meet and to share Torah and share experiences with so many of the Rabbanim who have Hasidic blood and Hasidic influences. I'm a closet Hasid. And so much of what Hasidus did to save Am Yisrael is introduce collective identity. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Am Yisrael, Nefesh Eloka Mimal Mamish, and Am Yisrael's Haftachos, and the Chibur Yisera. But if we're honest with ourselves, that entire identity can sometimes draw our attention away from personal accountability, personal responsibility. We pad our experience. We exempt ourselves too quickly. Well, I'm part of Am Yisrael, and we get lost in the shuffle, as we say, and lost in the blur of Am Yisrael. Every human being stands in front of their Rabbanu Shel Olam and has to have an accounting and has to answer for his or her experiences. And that's what I think Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur stress as opposed to Sukkos. Take a look at source number 16. This is the introduction to Zichronos. Atazochir Maisei Olam, Pokid Kol Yitzirei Kedem. We read these psukim before. Akol Goli V'Tzafri Lefanecha. We know these psukim. Li Pokid Karuach V'Nafesh. Li Zechra Maisim Rabim V'Amon Nistaros. Mereishis Kazal Soldata. Mi Bereishis. The word Bereishis appears twice. Zayim Tchilis Masecha. Li Yom Rishon. V'Ala Medinos Boi Omer. Then there's an abrupt shift. Mi Lo Nifkad Ki Ayom Azeh. Ki Zechra Kol HaMaisim Lefanecha Ba. Maisei Ish. Ufkudaso. Alilos mitzadei gaver, machshvos adam v'sachbulosav, yitzrei ma'alalei ish. And then the moan, ashrei ish shelo yishkacheka uven adam yisam etzbach. The whole focus here is on an ish. Don't just tell me what you belong to. You're an ish. Kodesh Baruch Hu created you b'tzelem elokim, b'shvili nivra olam, menani li mili, olam umloa. Have you accounted for yourself? You exonerated yourself. And when Rosh Hashanah takes one tonality, standing in front of Hashem during the Yom HaZichronos, on Yom Kippur, it takes a different form of individualism. It's the same individualism, but it's a different tone, it's a different way to access it. At the end of our vidui, we recite Tfilas Rava, Surah 17. This is not something you would say in public, and this is not something that makes you think about the community or the collective or the nation you belong to. This is a very, very private and searing moment of shame. Elokai, ad shel notzarti eini chedai. V'achshav shenotzarti ki'ilu lo notzarti. Afrani b'chaye kal b'charm b'isasi. V'ani lefanecha Hashem Elokai v'lokei avasai kechli male busha uchlima. Shame is not made for the public comments. That's why people who are too involved in the public comments can't feel shame. Because they've lost personal integrity and personal identity. They've sold their identity to the public comments. Public comments knows no shame. Living in a shameless world, unfortunately. So when you face sin, you're not thinking about what larger scenario, what larger grouping you belong to. I wanted to try to insert some makaros about the prakim that we're reading so often during this period. So I tried Perek Chav Zayin, Perek Mem Zayin, Perek Kuf Lamed. David HaMelech says, Ki avi v'imi azavuni, source 18, Vashem Yasveni. He feels abandoned. He feels lost. He feels alone. And he doesn't take any solace in the larger grouping that he belongs to. Horeni Hashem Darkecho Necheni Berach Mishor Laman Sharoi. This is literally an echo of Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah. Hodieni nadrachecha, hareni Hashem derachecha. when Moshe says, he's standing alone in Har Sinai. This isn't the first Har Sinai, this is the second Har Sinai, Betzina. Not Bekole Kolos. David HaMelech feels the same. Or when he speaks in Tehillim Kuflam, Mitzrayim Malos, Kivisi Hashem, Kivsa Nafshi, I look for you, I wait for you, Chazal Darshin, Kivui Achar Kivui. Normally, if there's one thing we've learned this year, we've learned how to wait for things. Let's wait until the quarantine is lifted. Let's wait until the vaccine, and let's wait. So we've learned about waiting. I think I read this pasuk very differently than I ever read it. I know what it means to wait for something. Kivui achar kivui. Nafshi l'Hashem, mishamrim laboker, shamrim laboker. Shamer, by definition, isn't surrounded by anyone else. He's a lone figure, standing atop a tower, amidst the morning dew, watching the sun rise, introspecting with himself and his task. Nothing more, nothing less. And David HaMelech sees himself as a shomer, and he repeats it, Nafshi l'Hashem, mishomrim laboker, shomrim laboker. Or when David HaMelech writes in Lamed Ches and Nanala for the two most raw prakim in Tehillim about Tshuva, listen to how David HaMelech feels. There's no solace in who you belong to. If anything, he feels alienated and shattered and ruptured. Avai v'rei'ai minegin nigiya modu, my friends, look at me in scorn, v'kurva merechoka modu. Scorning me, they're mocking me. I have to hide my, hold my ears and make believe I don't hear them. I have nothing to say. Or as Rabbi Akiva describes, not just the processing of chet, but the processing of tshuva. I'm Rabbi Akiva. Ashrechem Yisrael, v'miyatem mitara, mimitara eschem, v'vichem shemay mikvah Yisrael, Hashem, mikvah's not. You're not in the mikvah with anyone else. No one walks into the mikvah in pairs. In theory, you could if the mikvah is big enough, but in general, you don't walk into the mikvah in pairs. It's a very, very primordial, deep I'm in the mikvah, I close my eyes, and it literally feels as if I'm being born, as if I'm connecting to something deep, alone, very alone, in the midst of this dark water. That's the correcting that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur provides to the Mo'adim. And obviously this year, I think it's very, very salient. I think over the last, and it depends which community, which world, but we are very, very communal oriented. We've built communities, we invest in communities, we rescue people through communities. Communities are rescue lifeboats for people whose personal religious experience may be wayward or weak. Or this is the home of the Shabbos Project. There's no more grand and successful communal project that spans the entire spectrum of Jews in the Shabbos Project, Baruch Hashem. But sometimes that erodes the individual experience and it erodes personal piety. We justify shallowness because we belong to something larger. We exempt weak and lethargic experience. It's an escape hatch sometimes. And Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur demands that we recalibrate. Do you have the ability to stand alone in front of the Rabbono Shel Olam and account? If you're not part of it, let's say you're the last yid standing in this world. Let's say you were taken to a desert island and you didn't have any communal missions or tasks or options. Would that change? Would it change if you were Avraham Ivri and you didn't have a community yet? And I think this is the Rosh Hashanah that so many of us are quote-unquote alone. Whether it's being alone for the past couple months or whether it's being alone quote unquote on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur without our normal tefillos, without a normal kol, the normal grouping. So it is a chance to withdraw within ourselves and ask ourselves and hopefully ask others or assist others in asking those very deeply existential questions. The first question is, what is human experience and human accomplishment? The second question is, do we stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivnei maram kimalos beis charon? To return to David HaMelech's phraseology in the parak we recite every day in Tehillim Chav Zayin, Al taster ponecha mimeni, al tat bi'af avdecha. Please Hashem, don't hide from me. Al taster ponecha mimeni. Well, sadly, we live in a period of hester ponim. The average person doesn't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. It's a world of death and randomness, a world of tension, and social friction, and economic fragility. This is probably one of the single most deepest periods of Hester Panim since, of course, the Holocaust. Not to compare the two. It's Hester Panim within Hester Panim. So people who are Maminim are able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu as David saw, and not to say, I'll taster ponecha mimeni, but ki itzvineni besuko biyomra yastireni besesir halo. I want to be in a small, confined place because I know you're there. Because I know imo nochi b'tzara. Like Yonah says, mi beten sheol shivaticha. I call to you no matter where I am, I know you're there. But Yonah's experience isn't collective. He isn't thinking about who else knows where he is. And that's something I think that this Yom Kippur can provide us, as well as not just where HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be found, but also the power of free will. I think one of the dangers of our world in general and of the post-corona world is we've become statistics. It's all about statistics. Have the statistics risen? Have the statistics dropped? Have the statistics... Statistics are Calvinist. They create an environment of predeterminism. They're necessary in the modern world to predict the future, to allow large groupings to live in common welfare, to predict trends, to predict needs, to predict allocations, vaccines. But it creates a very deterministic world. And Shiva is a celebration of Bechira Chavshis. That's why the Rambam embeds Bechira Chavshis right in the middle of Hilchas Shiva. Rishus Nesunu L'chaladam, Leos Kimosh Rabbeinu, or Russia. So that shrinking within oneself is not just to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu through personal accountability, that I have personal responsibilities that I can't acquit or I can't justify simply because I belong to something larger, but also to be an individual means I have freedom of choice, and those choices impact, those choices make change, those choices will shape my life. Something which is obviously less resonant in the public sphere, where Am Yisrael's future is obviously predetermined. We know where it will end and how it will end, but every person's individual arc and every person's individual trajectory is very open-ended, very much a subject of personal authorship and personal decision. So I think it's important to reclaim the power of the individual, the power of free will, the power to make change. And I think people are feeling powerless. I think people are feeling shrunken. We've become midgets under the tyranny of statistics, under the tyranny of big government, under the tyranny of forces larger than ourselves. And that's not the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended. It's certainly not the world of Elul and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So that's the second opinion of Kivnei Maram. First opinion is Kivnei Imrana. We've been reduced from our pedestals. We're all Daedalus and Icarus. We flew too high and our wings have melted. Second shot is Kimalos Beis Maram. There's a chance for Shani Yom Kippur to remind and to reassert our individual mission, accountability, and capacity and faculty. The third shot is probably the most provocative one. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Kichayalos Shel Beis David. Now, B'nai Maram doesn't mean sheep. B'nai Maram doesn't mean people that walk up to Beis Maram or whatever high city they're ascending to, but the soldiers of Beis David. Why should we think of ourselves, why should we imagine ourselves in Rosh Hashanah as Chayala Shel Beis David? So obviously, soldiers are in harm's way. Soldiers are facing death. It's life and death. And sometimes we have to reintroduce the gravitas and the solemnity. Sifrei Chayim Eisim Sukhan Lefanecha. I'm in Eretz Yisrael today. And again, I speak about Hasidus very, very lovingly. But Hasidus has certainly, in some places, certainly reintroduced the simcha and the joy and the chiba and the liebshaft of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's always very important to be able to balance that with the pachad and the ema and the reses and the zeyan. Obviously, everyone calibrates it differently, but Every person has to feel both of those emotions in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But another reason that we're meant to feel like Chayalos Beis David, not because we're going to war, but because like soldiers, we have a mission. We're Jewish soldiers, and we no longer, not all of us, fight in the Jewish army. Baruch Hashem, I have the schus to teach soldier Talmid HaChachamim boys who are going out to defend our country for the first time. Since Rabbi Akiva, I never underestimate that schus that I have. I feel like I'm reliving Rabbi Akiva's tradition. But even if we're not fighting in the actual army, the military army, or we don't live in Eretz Yisrael, we're still Chayal at the Beis David. I just moved my chair, if you can see me. One second. Just see if you can. How do I do this? Okay, you can see that. We're still Chayal at the Beis David. How are we Chayal the base stuff. Well, that requires, again, a bit of a, one second, let me just work out my thing. That requires a bit of a zooming out. I know it's a zooming out. Rosh Hashanah is a very, very universal experience. Hayom HaRasolam, source number 23, Hayom Yamid Babishvat, Kol Yitzir Yolam. Everyone stands in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the day that humanity was born, the world was born, reality was born, the cosmos was born. And to ignore that fact is to completely, completely miss the grandeur, the gravitas, the potency, the depth of the day. Everything. This is a day that's felt not just on Aretz, but in Shemayim. Not just B'nei Marom, but U'malachai Elokim, U'malachim Yechofezon, V'chil or Ada Yechezon, V'yomru Hinei Yom Adin Lifkod Al Tzva Marom Badin. So obviously Malachim don't have a Yom Adin per se, they're not B'chir Chavshis, but the entire world bristles with the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. O'chila Lakel, Achale Panav, Eshela Mimenu Ma'anei Lashon, Asher Bekalam, Ashir Uzo, Abia, Renanaz Bi'ad Mifalav. Mifalav is a universal term. Bi'ad Mifalav, Li'adam Arche Lev, there's something larger than Am Yisrael occurring. This is the day of Bereishis, Bereishis Bara Elokim. But, and here's the dichotomy, it's also our day. And the pasuk that bridges it, that captures the dichotomy, is the pasuk of the day. There's a pasuk of the day for so many psukim that stream through our imagination, but this is the pasuk. And I wanted to see it in context, because sometimes we don't see it in context. Lam natseach alagitis liasaf. Harninu lelokim uzenu, harriu lelokei Yaakov. This is being said by the Umas HaOlam. Harninu goyim amo, haluas Hashem kol goyim, lelokei Yaakov. It's reminiscent of Perek Mem Zayin, which we'll talk about in a minute. Kol amim tikucha, farriu lelokim bakol rina, kol amim. Divi amim nesafu. There's a universality here. Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesav yom chageinu. This is the day of Hashem's malchus. Ki chok l'Yisrael hu mishpat l'kei Yaakov. There is a shift. There is a transition. It's the day of malchus and universalism and the yom ras olam. But this is our day. Ki chok l'Yisrael hu mishpat. In that space between pasuk dalet and pasuk hey lies a nuclear warhead of energy for Rosh Hashanah. That's how much energy lies between those two pasukim. It's something like a nuclear reactor was built between Pasuk Dalet and Pasuk Hey. That's how much energy lies between Pasuk Dalet and Pasuk Hey. Tiku b'chodesh shavah b'ketz ki chok l'Yisrael hu mishpat l'kei Yaakov. And how is it our day? Well, first of all, because it's the day of Hashem's malchus. And it was Hashem's uncontested malchus during Bria Sa'olam, but since then the world has wandered. We're trying to help the world correct its course. But there's only one people, it's Makabal, it's Malchus. There's only one people that know what's going on that day. Ashri Ha'am, Perek Peites. So can we recite before Shofar? Ashri Ha'am, Yodei Surah, Hashem B'yor Ponechei Halechon, B'shimcha Yegilun Kol Hayom, Kitif Eretz Yisrael. These Pesukim are celebrating Hashem's Malchus, wherever they are Hashem. And throughout our year, it's a very, very lonely place to be, because Hashem's Malchus isn't felt and isn't acquiesced or isn't sensed, but today, Bal Karcha, Chat Shem Erotzani, everyone has to be Omen Lefnei Hashem. V'chol B'nei Adam, Yavr Lefanecha. So it's thrilling to finally have one day in which our greatest dreams materialize, which our best and brightest dreams actually exist. We are Yodei Trua. But we're not just Yodei Trua, but as Chazal interpreted that pasuk, I'm Rabbi Yoshia, source number 27. Ksiv Hashem Yodei Trua. Ein Umas Olam Yodim La'ria Kama Karnos Yesh L'Mekama Bukinos Yesh L'Mekama Safgugirsin Horns. Ashri Ha'am Yodei Trua El Hashem Makirim Lefatos Esbarim B'Trua. We are not just celebrants to this day because it's Hashem's Malchus. We are also engineers. We turn the day. We transform it from a day of fear and intimidation and pachad. If it's the day of Zechronos, Atazacher Maisa Olam Ufokid Kol Yitzuri Kedem Ashri Shalish Kacheka, Kadosh Baruch Hu, remember Schus Avos, remember Avos Kulo Soyech, Chesed Nurayich, Akedas Yitzchak Hayom Barachamim Tizkor. So we're not just Yodei Trua that we are aware that an event is taking place and we tap into its energy and celebrate that event. We are Yodei Sruah on the activist sense, as Chazal say. We're Yodim Lefatos Isbaran. We're engineers. We're authors. We're contractors. We turn the day into a day of Chibur Yisera, into a day of Shir HaShirim, into a day of Avos Chalosas, where we're so proud and confident on this day. Because of Akedas Yitzchak, and because of Zichronos. And the third reason that this is our day. And this is why, before we mention Shofaros, source number 28, I talked about the introduction to Zichronos. What about the introduction to Shofaros? These are introductory phrases describing Har Sinai. Why are we describing Har Sinai? It's Rosh Hashanah. So the limited answer is because the three first psukim of shofaros are about shofar b'shas matan Torah. But it's just hadra kosher l'duchta. So why pick those? There are plenty of psukim in Tanakh about shofaros that don't have to do with Shavuos. Because Shavuos was when we were nifchar by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be the Am Segula. Temtil b'mlechas konim v'gai kadosh. We're the Am HaNifchar. We're the Am HaNifchar, even if we don't have Schus Avos. Even without Akedas Yitzchak. We're HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're your Am Segula. It's Hashem Hemarta Yom, Hashem Hemircha Hayom, this week's Parsha. So of course we want to mention Shavuos. In our yeshiva, the minhag is, and when the chazan reaches these psukim, he sings it in the tune of Akdamas. Ata nigleisa banan kivodecha al am kodshecha ledaver. We're taking the Shavuos. You feel like it's Shavuos. The Am HaNivchar. Matan Torah. It's a great simcha. And that shift between the universalism of the day and the particularity of the day is really at the core of Perek Mem Zayin. Kol Amim Tekucha, Ferilukim Mokorina, Source 29, Keshem Elyon Nara Melchadol Kol Aretz. Everyone's gathering to celebrate Hashem. And what's their ultimate celebration? Mirtz Hashem one day. Yad Baramim Tachteinu, Ulim Tachas Vaglino, Yivchalenus Nachalaseinu, Esgon Yaakov will treat us to Eretz Yisrael in a way that the entire world recognizes and celebrates. And at that point, Malach Elokim Algoim, Elokim Yashav Akisei Kacho, Avram's mission will have completed itself. Thousands of years of mission. That's why we're Chayala de Beis David. We're on a mission. We're Chayala and we're soldiers. And don't forget that we're soldiers. And with soldiers comes historical mission, historical responsibility, but also Hashem, because we chose him and we alone chose him and we alone acquiesced and we alone answered Nasa v'Nishma, the Kodesh Baruch Hu took us as Am HaNivchar v'as Eschem Al Kanfei Nisharim. And that's why Chazal want us to see ourselves as all three. And in particular this year, that issue I think has to be enunciated. Because the last year and a half it's been hard to feel unique. Not only are we no different from every other human being, but our collective medical futures is codependent on every other human being. If every Jew in Johannesburg gets vaccinated, that won't make any difference. The entire community has to be vaccinated, the entire world at a certain point. It's been a very, very universalizing experience. And in some ways, I think it's healthy to reintroduce some of that universalism into our mind. I think Rabbi Sacks, Zichron Levracha, tried very hard to reintroduce that voice into our people, because after 2,000 years of withdrawal and preservationism and survival mentality, it became harder for us to realize that we have a story to tell the people of this world, and we have to tell that story and inspire the world, but not at the cost of our nationalism and our national identity and feeling our unique calling as Am Yisrael, as Am HaNivchar. I wonder how many people this year feel less chosen on many fronts. In part because of the virus, in part because maybe our behavior hasn't always lived up to the standards of an Am HaNivchar, but that has to be reaffirmed. We're B'nai Chayal, the Beis David. And we walk on Rosh Hashanah like no one else walks. So these are the three themes I thought could be helpful this year, Rosh Hashanah. We've been reduced. Our humanity and our human achievements have been battered. Rosh Hashanah is a time to feel solitary and alone, and I think we know what that is more than in the past. And we can tap into that for a very deeper or different Rosh Hashanah. Less communal, more introspective, more personal. And finally, our sense of mission, Chayalos Shel Beis David, has to be recalibrated. during a period that has challenges to feel that way. In the last 2-3 minutes, I just want to share a story. I'm not sure if this story will be relevant. I hope it will be, maybe not in its content, but maybe in its muse, in its spirit. It's a story that was told to me by my Rebbe, Rav Amital, Zichrono Livracha, who didn't just teach us, but told us stories, and sometimes stories change your life, because it's easier to draw associations with a story than with concepts. I want to share this story with you in the context, and then how it changed my life, and how often I think about it, and I'm thinking about it this year. It was 1987 in Yeshiva, and the first Intifada broke out. The first Intifada was a lot of protests and mobs. It wasn't bombings and terror, but the Israeli army needed a lot of manpower, needed people to just patrol the villages, quell the riots. And they drafted all the Hesder Bachrim back to the army, because when you're in Hesder, even when you're learning in the yeshiva, you're still a soldier. You're still Chayel de Beis Tavis. You're the first person to be drafted. A lot of my Talmidim last year were drafted to help package food or to help with serological tests, because you're still a soldier, even when you're in yeshiva. And they were very depressed around Purim time, because they'd already gone through their 2 services. In those days, now they serve 16 months continuous, but in those days they served 9 months and 6 months, in, out, out. They still wanted to sit and learn. And here they were, Erev Purim, Erev Pesach, they're going to be in the army again. So Rav Amital called a tish, and we had a tish, the entire yeshiva. And he said, I want to tell you about my Shabbos in the concentration camps. He said, in the concentration camps, we had nothing. No Shabbos. Nothing. We worked. But I had a little white shirt. And I would carefully and delicately fold that white shirt and put it in my pocket every Erev Shabbos. And then as Shkia came, I would scuttle off from the work detail, go a little corner, put on the Shabbos, the white shirt, be Mekabel Shabbos, and then take it off and run right back to the work detail because my absence would be noticed. He says, you're spoiled. He says, you have so much to your Shabbos. You have Kishka and Kugel and friends and Torah and learning and Smiros and Challah and Kiddush. And I had nothing. But my entire Shabbos was streamed through that white shirt. And I felt HaKadosh Baruch Hu with me. And he told the Talmidim, this year your Pesach will be like my white shirt. You're going to have a 15-minute Seder. You'll eat your matzah, your shir, and your maror, you'll say your halal, and your brachas, gimel devarim gamlil, gol shalom, gimel devarim elu. But I promise you, it will be like my white shirt, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be there with you. And it was magical. It was like an enchanted moment. You could feel the despair lifting, and we started singing together. And I remember that year I wasn't in the army. I was so jealous of those who were in the army. Oh, they had their white shirt. I had to have a regular pedestrian Seder. They had a Rav Amital Seder with a white shirt. But that story became a story. My family, I tell my family all the stories that I heard from my Rosh Hashivas, and then all the stories becomes, it's almost as if it becomes like our family currency. We can quote the stories. Oh, yeah, that story, that story. About 10 years ago, maybe a little more, my wife was very, very ill. And for a while, it was touch and go. And Baruch Hashem, she survived, and she's healthy, Baruch Hashem. By the end of the week, we had a very, very tumultuous week in the hospital. By the end of the week, it became clear she had to be there for Shabbos. Now, Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael hospitals are no picnic. You don't get your own room, as you know. You get your own little space, which can be invaded upon by the person next to you if they bring too many relatives. It's not comfortable. And also, hospitals in Eretz Yisrael and Shabbos have skeleton staffs. They don't have, it's not a functioning, it's a very, very limited staff. So I'm walking with my little pekalech, my little basket of some gefilte fish and some rolls and some grape juice, coming in to be with my wife for Shabbos. And everyone's leaving. Everyone's walking the other way. I'm walking in the wrong direction. Everyone's leaving and I'm walking in. You really feel abandoned. It's very lonely, very uncomfortable. What's going to be the Shabbos? Okay, make the best of it. I came to the area that my wife was staying in. I pulled back this little curtain. She had cleaned up the area as best as she could. She was holding one white rose that one of the volunteers had handed her. She looked at me and she said, this will be our white shirt. And we both started crying, and it was such a catharsis to release all the fear and sadness and worry. Just, we hugged each other and we had the most beautiful Shabbos in the world. And that white shirt story taught me that sometimes when you have more, you have less. And sometimes when you have less, you have more. It's all a question of what goes on in here. It's all a question of what spirit you bring. And sometimes you have too much and you're spoiled and you don't bring enough spirit. Sometimes you have less and you realize now's the moment of spirit. now's the time I have to infuse it with special meaning. Now I have to work harder, but it will be more fulfilling. So I think about that story a lot. I don't know what my Rosh Hashanah will be like. There's still a lot of touch and go here in Eretz Yisrael. I imagine that whatever it will still be more communal and more grand than some of the Rosh Hashanahs, at least the stories I hear from South Africa. And Eretz Hashem will stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Yidden have always stood, in good times and bad times, in forests and in shuls, in mountaintops and in communities. And we'll stand Kivnei Maram, in all meanings, in all layers of the meaning. And hopefully we should all be nichta v'sefer achayim, la'at l'chaim tovim v'l'shalom. Kadosh Baruch Hu should bring refuah to his mifalav, b'yad mifalav. He should bring refuah to Am Yisrael. He should bring Eretz Hashem, the ultimate refuah. As we know, the ultimate refuah is when the world is erpa m'shuvasam. Kadosh Baruch Hu heals the broken spirit of this world, the misdirection of this world, brings us all together in Yishalayim. That's the ultimate vaccine. Standing together, v'nilvay lav kol agoyim. That will surpass any vaccines. Until then, we'll make deal with Ma'aseh Yadayim. Thank you for inviting me to speak. And Eretz Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu should be with us as he was with my Rebbe in the concentration camp with his white shirt. I can't hear you.